Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the
bang. What is up, everybody? Hope you're staying safe. I hope you're washing your hands. I hope you have toilet paper. And I hope you're ready to be entertained for the next hour, because Video Game Bang is back, still fresh in quarantine. It's getting a little harder for me. I don't know how it is for you, but these are the days I look forward to. This and Survivor Night. This and the night when the new episode of Survivor comes out. Emma Skies, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I got a lot of Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, you know, you've been pretty vocal about your obsession for Girl Scout cookies. I had no idea. You know, props to you for, you know, donating to even more to charity. You know, you had your huge charity stream, and now you're donating to the Girl Scouts. What was your Girl Scout order?
S'mores, lemonades, thanks a lot, caramel chocolate chip, and shortbread. And I thought, the only reason I didn't buy Thin Mints was because I thought I already had a box, and then I found out that I don't, and now I'm devastated.
What's the peanut butter ones? Those are obviously
Those
are the S tier ones. I don't care, even though they changed the recipe, those are still top tier.
Do love me some Dosey-Dos.
If he was a Girl Scout cookie, I don't know. What do you think Curtis would be, Emma? If you had to compare him to a Girl Scout cookie.
I feel like he's a nice lemonade.
All right.
Get my Beyonce on. Yeah, I'll take that. I'm with it. What's up, y'all? Apparently, I'm a lemonade, and I'm all for that. I wish I had some of those lemonade Girl Scout cookies right now, but I am stuck with fire wings. Then pretty much that's it. Flaming Hot Cheetos, Lime Additions, some Gatorades, and some Advil. So not quite as tasty, but I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much my quarantine survival kit right now, so I'm living life.
I saw a nice interesting meme. It's pretty accurate. It had like a list of monthly expenses, and it said like gasoline $0, entertainment $0, everything was zero, and then it said groceries $1,100. It's like there's not much to spend your money on right now, but groceries, I've been making some monster like Costco sized deliveries just coming to my house every other week. It's been weird to see the world shift. We were talking a little bit earlier, the movie Trolls went straight to, I don't know, what did it go to a particular platform?
Disney Plus, or is that DreamWorks? I think it's DreamWorks.
I think it's DreamWorks. I get tons of ads for it, though. I wonder if it was a success. Have you guys heard or seen anything?
I have absolutely no desire to, so.
I haven't watched it, but I've heard, as far as like a family movie, it seemed to have done its trick of entertaining the kids who are, you know, probably bouncing off the walls by now from being locked inside home so much. But it made more money than I think a lot of the people outside of the studio body thought. So I think for the first movie released at home, I think it was a success. But at the same time, financially for the studio, it looks like it's probably going to end up being a little bit of a loss.
I think the next movie to try its luck is that animated Scooby-Doo movie.
What?
Yeah.
There's an animated Scooby. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like three. I don't know. It's animated like a Pixar movie. You know, 3D. I don't know what the technical term is for that, but it's, you know, it has like big voice actors. Like they were taking it serious as a huge release, and it's also going the way of digital. I don't know. I can't pull myself to pull the $20 trigger just to watch one movie when there's already so much I have not watched on Netflix and stuff already.
Well, the Invisible Man did the same thing. Emma did the same thing, which is how we ended up watching that, which was really good. There's a couple others that have done. Bloodshot did that.
And you've actually tried it?
Yeah, I watched Emma.
Okay, well, that's pretty self-absorbed of you to be, you know, the movie you watch.
Well, it's about me, so. Yeah. No, I love Jane Austen stuff. No, it works great. And it's like, two of us watched it, so it was $10 a person, which is less than we would pay having gone to see it at the movies, which we were going to do anyway. So,
Okay. Emma's official review.
The movie's fantastic, but the experience, it's fine.
There's been a lot of stuff to talk about, so we'll get into some news. And this is I actually prepped for this show, everybody, so I have a clip. Basically, if you guys missed the story this week, there was a Twitch streamer named Invader V. And
see, that's the thing. Like, you don't even say your name. Like, you just don't even give her the clout.
Go, because if you have the $5 to go sub to her and you want to, clearly needs it. Here's
stupid.
I'll just play what she said because. Correct me if I'm wrong. Emma, I know you have not heard the story.
I don't want to.
Have you been caught up on this one, Curtis?
No, I am very interested in what this is all about.
I don't want to.
Here we go.
No.
A sub is $5. At maximum, in whatever your currency is, it's maybe $10. And it doesn't matter how broke you are. If you have time to watch Twitch, you have $10, truly. If you don't have $10, you probably don't have time to watch Twitch because you should be working. You should be trying to earn money. It's not a ton. It's not like a ton of money. So being like, I'm broke, I can't afford to sub, that doesn't really track. What you mean to say is, I'm so irresponsible with my money, I can't support the entertainment that I enjoy.
That was the quote. Giggle, no. Giggle and all. Emma, you've been avoiding it, but now you heard it. What are your thoughts?
I hate you.
Me? Like, what did I do?
It's like not even, it's just, these things are not even worth talking about. Like, literally nobody would know who the fuck this girl was if we didn't make a big deal out of this.
That's not entirely true.
Now everybody knows, you know, everybody's talking about her, everybody knows her name, regardless of whether that's good or bad, whatever. Like, she would be as nothing as she was before this started.
But
it's just dumb. It's dumb. It's ridiculous.
I think she's not like a little tiny streamer. Like, this is a partnered streamer, over six figures worth of followers, and who knows, God knows how many subs.
Is she really?
Yeah, no, she's a big streamer. And
I hope they take her partnership away.
The reason why? Why would they take her partnership away? Because she said something stupid.
Because the idea of partnership on Twitch is that you are literally partnered with the company. You represent the company. You are a partner with the company. That's the idea behind calling it that. So it's kind of just one of those like, is this who you want representing you? Is this how you want to do this? It's just stupid.
You're getting a little crazy right there, because people are allowed to have awful opinions. I think one telltale sign that she is a big streamer is the fact that she has that opinion. Like, she's clearly lost touch with reality. Did you see the clip of Ninja recently?
There are a lot of small streamers that have the same mentality.
Really? That's very unfortunate that if they do. Did you see Ninja's most recent comments where he tilted on stream and ranted about how he has enough money to buy the bank that owns this kid's mortgage and he'll do that? Like, it was pretty awful.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah,
it was
bad.
Don't
reward this behavior.
We're not. Where does this entitlement come from, do you think? Where could it possibly come from?
I don't care. I don't know, and I don't care.
Well, Twitter cared enough where she went through and put out a apology that went a little something like this.
You're here right now because you've seen a clip of me. And you're very angry about what I said in that clip. And you're justified in your anger. What I said was
tone-deaf. Is that it?
Insensitive and stupid. And I recognize that. I recognize that there is no context that I can give that would excuse what I said. So I won't. I can only own what I said, and I will. The clip that you saw does not represent my true feelings. I've streamed for hundreds of hours, and I've said, support communities after you support yourself first. Subscribe if you have the disposable income to do so. But in that clip, I expressed opinions that I do not hold at all. I said things that I don't mean, and they were vile. I recognize that.
That was the apology. So, I don't know. what the my full takeaway is here. A lot of things frustrate me about it. I don't think necessarily what she said. I think a lot of people have. There's a lot of people on Twitch with partnerships that say way more criminally terrible things that we should probably, like, if we want to roast somebody or like try and ruin their Twitch career, you can probably go after. This is just someone who'd lost touch with reality. She's got tons of viewers and just lives in the bubble of Twitch so much that, and was feeling the heat of the moment here when I guess the situation was someone typed in chat how they were going to sub. I think they were a past sub, and due to, you know, struggles with the COVID-19 stuff, they weren't able to renew. And that's what triggered.
You know what the fucking response to that is? The response to that, when somebody in your chat says, "Hey, I'd love to support you, but I'm really struggling right now because all of us lost our fucking jobs," is, "I understand. I totally understand. Don't ever apologize for that and take care of yourself. This is a luxury item. Paying me is a luxury. You do not need to be here. This is fucking stupid. How hard is that to say?"
Exactly.
I hate this girl.
I don't like the delivery is the thing. Like, it, her tone was serial killer-esque in when she committed the travesty and when she, like, made up for it. And it was very Stepford Wife, like, freaky deaky. I did not like it. Was
totally emotionless, scripted, like, just telling you what you already know.
Yeah, like, yeah. Super smart. I when I first saw the clip, I was like, oh, well, and plus she's probably young. She looks like she's probably, like, I don't know, mid-20s.
No. That does not excuse that shit. I mean, she is a grown-ass adult.
Yeah, she is, actually. She's 30. She's 30 years old.
God.
This chick is my age and saying that outlandish stuff. So, I don't know. It's kind of just one of those fun things just to let you guys know what's happening at Twitch. What's your takeaway on this story, Curtis?
You know, a lot of what you said, she lost touch. And... you know, and she might have even been, you know, she might have been seeing, you know, her revenue or her subs go down and, you know, felt the crunch of, you know, not being able to pay all of her bills or whatever. Still, I mean, it, you know, there's no, I'm speaking more from a sense of I can understand what put her in that space, but it still doesn't excuse what she said. And she knows that. That's why she had to apologize. But that's the kind of thing that you really, you know, with whatever level of success you get, you know, whether, you know, you get affiliate, you know, on Twitch, you get partnered on Twitch, you get a record deal, you land your first starring role in a play or in a film.
You make it on Good Day Sacramento a few times.
You know, maybe even on first name basis with people at Good Day Sacramento. I mean, who knows? But whatever it is, you know, you need to keep people around you, and you need to keep checking in with those people that keep you in check, you know, that remind you of the humble beginnings that you came from. Or even if you didn't come from humble beginnings, some people are fortunate enough to be born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Whatever it is, you remember where you are in the scheme of the world, and also realize that any time and moment it can be taken away, and you realize that you are only one person in the sea of people, and no matter what you achieve, you never, like, even people will say, "I'm self-made." You never did it alone. If it wasn't for those people that decided to show up for your streams, if it wasn't for those people that bought your first mixtape, or for the people that went and filled the theaters to go see you on the big screen in the MCU movie, if it wasn't for those people, you wouldn't be where you're at. So you never take things like that for granted.
Dang. Way to turn, like, a shit story and turn it into something we could all learn from, Curtis. My man.
Hey, I got thank you for the soapbox emotes in chat. By the way, if you subscribe to
Video Gaming right now, and if you can, it's because you're a broke loser.
Right. Get a job.
Yeah, get a job, sir. You know what? The only reason I brought this story up, to be honest, I don't care about the streamer or really anything, but self-servingly, the lo-fi track she was listening to in the background of her apology was the Overwatch lo-fi station that I created.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no way.
You motherfucker.
What's the irony?
Bro, I was listening to it, and I was like, hey, is that our beats in the background? And sure enough, two of our tracks.
You should copyright striker. Oh! Copyright striker apology.
No, it's all from free.
So her shitty video stays up, but her apology gets taken down.
That was probably one of my most proudest moments. Let's get on with stuff going on in the world, though. We got a lot to talk about. One thing that came out very recently, which is kind of exciting, but also kind of a bummer. Venom also got its official teaser dropped today. I think it came out on Tom Hardy's social media channels.
Oh, wait, the teaser came out?
Well, teaser. Like, it's just, like, what the logo is going to look
like. It's
just
like. Okay, yeah, I gotcha.
This isn't, like, a trailer, no actors, not even anything cool.
No Woody Harrelson.
No Woody Harrelson. But it is called Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And
that's awful.
A lot of people hating on the title. What don't you like about
it? It's so bad. I didn't even... So, somebody posted this in Discord last night that it was there. And, like, I just looked at it and was like, wow, I really hope that's not the real title. And then just went away from it. And I didn't know until I looked at the notes here that said everybody hates it that it was actually real.
Yeah, no.
That's so bad.
No, there's a lot of hate. Mainly because, like, the Carnage and Venom series, like, they're a tale as old as time, basically. When you have Venom, you think of Carnage and how much they hate each other and the cool battles and the artwork and stuff from their stuff. And usually it's got a cool name, like Maximum Carnage, you know, and then people were expecting that and they wanted something cool. And Let There Be Carnage just kind of sounds goofy to me.
It's a mouthful.
It sounds like a Lampoon's movie, like National Lampoon's Let There Be Carnage or something. Curtis, the biggest comic aficionado of them all, what do you think? Has there ever been any Let There Be Carnages before or something that maybe they're pulling from that we don't know about?
Not a Let There Be Carnage that I know of. But even if it was, like, still, that's just, it's whack. Like, just because I'll say this, as a big comics fan, and I'm not the biggest Spider-Man comics fan, I'm not a big Venom fan, and I've never been a big Carnage fan. But even with that, like, bringing stuff over from the comics, some like, there's a lot of whack comics. Let's be interested. Like, let's be honest. And there's a lot of whack names in comics, but some of them are really good. And if the name sucks, don't use it for the movie. Like, find a better name. There's creative people there. There's newer people that are over in the comics industry. Consult with them. Donnie Cates, who just did the most recent Venom and Carnage run, which was Absolute Carnage. That's a better name. Just do like Venom, Absolute Carnage. Like, not only does it, you know, give you the whole, hey, Easter egg, there's going to be this Carnage character in there that people know. We saw that where there is Venom, there will be Carnage, you know, the actual definition of the word. So I think, you like, if they were going to look over at the comics, look at the most recent one that people really enjoyed from one of the biggest name writers, Donnie Cates, and just take that. And shout out to Frank Martin and Matt Wilson, by the way, two of my homies that worked on some Carnage stuff and some Venom stuff recently. I always got to give shout out to my boys.
Emma, you had a pretty visceral reaction as well. What are your thoughts on Let There Be Carnage?
Oh, it's just a dumb name. I guess in the grand scheme of things, like, it doesn't matter what it's called. Like, your title can be whatever. As long as the movie's good, whatever. But it's just a dumb title. I don't know. It's just stupid. I don't know what it is. I can't even, like, I can't look at it and tell you and break it down and be like, it's, you know, because of this linguistic, you know, bullshit. Like, I just hate it.
I want
not helpful.
I think it falls into that weird area of, if they would have called it Maximum Carnage, along with that comes the weight of expectations that people have already of that storyline or of that previous video game or however you experienced Maximum Carnage. And honestly, based off that last Venom movie that I think was pretty crappy anyways, don't put that on there. Like, that's just an insult to everyone who enjoyed that thing. But on the other foot, you could still come up with something better than Maximum Carnage. I mean, not Maximum Carnage, of Let There Be Carnage.
Let There Be Carnage. Yeah, no, I think it's just a little pretentious. Like, let there be this, let there be that. Like, it kind of invokes some sort of, like thespian or theatrical, some sort of, like, grandiose thing that it is not. Like, if you just, and it's just too many words. Venom, and then like maybe two words or one word. But if you try to make this longer, you know, title out of it that pretends that it's supposed to be so much bigger, when, like you said, Corey, a lot of people didn't think that it was a really good movie. At best, a lot of people just said it was a good time. Like, I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be, or I had more fun with it than I thought it was going to be. Don't try to build it up into something that it's not. Let's be honest. There's a serial killer dude. He's going to get loose. He's going to kill a bunch of people, and an anti-hero who really is a villain. I still don't feel like Venom is an anti-hero. I feel like Venom is a villain.
He's a villain.
He sometimes works. Yeah. A bad guy got to try to take out a worse guy, or, you know, bad. Come on. Yeah. Let's drop the pretentious name here. But I will say, I'm putting $5 on it right now that will not be the title by the time this movie gets released next year.
Really? Wow.
I bet. Yeah.
Do you think because of this blowback, or do you think it would have changed either way?
I think it's mostly because of the blowback. I think, you know, seeing what happened with the Sonic thing, and even seeing what happened with the Harley Quinn movie and how that ended up getting a title change just to kind of streamline it. I think we see signs that movie studios are listening, you know, to fans a little bit more on, you know, what's gonna work for us. Not necessarily like what's gonna make the movie better or whatnot, but just like, hey, here's the easy in to at least engage us a little bit more, at least get us in the door and at least keep us excited. Because if we start complaining about things before we've even seen the movie, and it's things that we can objectively say, like, yeah, you can simplify that. Like, that's a title. You could simplify a title. I think they will. It doesn't cost them a lot of money. And, you know, and it kind of shows like, hey, we do want to try to bring you, you know, some good entertainment. We want to try to work with you, basically.
Yeah. The other thing people are like concerned about or kind of talking about is the release date schedule, because that means Morbius, Venom, and Spider-Man are all going to come out within like the same 4 or 5 months of each other.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah dude.
I wonder if that's intentional.
I don't know if this is like COVID-19 related changes, but the current release dates are Morbius comes out March 19th, Venom 2 June 26th, and then Spider-Man July 16th. So some of these will probably be in theaters together.
Gee, Spider-Man 3 comes out less than a month after Venom 2.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I don't know. Because given that we know Michael Keaton is in Morbius, like maybe they're all supposed to come out that close to each other. Maybe they're all connected, but I have no fucking idea. Especially given how Far From Home ended.
Yeah, with the big bombshell at the end. Because
it looked, in the Morbius trailer, it kind of looked like maybe this is obviously post-Spider-Man, but then also the suit that is graffitied isn't the Tom Holland suit, so nobody's quite sure how connected it's. I don't fucking understand.
Yeah.
It's just me telling in a very long roundabout way that I don't know anything.
What is your hope, Emma, for this, or what are your expectations for this Spider-Man cinematic universe that it seems to be controlled by Sony and not really part of MCU, but some characters are coming over? How does this hit you as like a fan?
I have no idea. I have no like, I don't care about Morbius in that, like, I'm indifferent to Morbius. So it could be great, could be bad. I don't really care either way. I hope it's good, just because I would like to see a good movie. Venom was real bad, so I would really like to see them not make the same mistakes they made last time. Just make it R-rated. It's not that hard. Venom would have been so much better if they just let it be R-rated. That was honestly, one of my biggest problems, was they spend the whole movie talking about how he's ripping heads off and he's killing people and you can't just go and decapitate somebody. You can't do this. You can't just eat people. There's not a drop of blood in that entire movie.
You just got a bloodlust that is insatiable.
It's stupid. Like, you can't have dialogue that constantly alludes to like this graphic murder scene. And then it looks like a Disney movie. Like, yeah. You can't do that.
What do you think? Because I know you really care about the MCU, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You're one of the biggest. You watch them right when they come out, the TV series, everything. And then you have to accept that these characters, these movies, do you see them as Marvel Cinematic Universe properties? Or are you okay skipping these and stuff? Or That's what I'm trying to see.
It'll depend. I mean, it's hard to tell right now. It's hard to know until the movie's out and you see what they do to connect it or what they don't do. Or it's really up to them.
Because it's already got like
people that are writing this.
It's already got Michael Keaton in it, so they're telling you that this exists within the MCU that we've all come to obsess and throw our money at.
But at the same time, so does The Incredible Hulk. That movie exists in the MCU. That is in the box set for Phase 1, but everybody skips it because it's garbage.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And you don't need it. Like, you don't miss anything by not seeing that movie. So maybe it's another Incredible Hulk. Maybe it's kind of a standalone. You don't need it. You can watch it if you want to, but you don't have to.
Yeah. What do you think they're building to over there, Curtis? What do you think all this is? Are they going to a Sinister Six out of this? Because Morbius isn't really a part of that faction, but... And same with Venom, actually. But if you're pulling all the Spider-Man villains and giving their own movies, and you're clearly borrowing from each other, what's the end game?
I think they're still trying to build up to it, because I think still the goal for people who have comic book properties is ultimately to build a universe where things cross over, like Marvel. So I think that's still the goal, even for Sony, since they have enough of the properties to do something like that. Of course, you know, if depending on what they do, I mean, you know, if there's some sort of reasoning, you know, that can happen between Venom and Carnage or whatever within the movie, that could pull Carnage in as another one. And, you know, they can build the Sinister Six and it doesn't have to, necessarily mirror the comics, as long as they build up to that as soon as possible. So for them, it might be, the reverse. Instead of building up a team of superheroes within their, you know, their universe, they want to build up a team of villains. And I think, of course, naturally, the way Spider-Man will have to respond after being overwhelmed is for him to gather, you know, his crew, his team of superheroes, which, you know, that would be interesting and, you know, put a little bit of a twist on the whole universe thing. But I think that's ultimately what they're trying to build with. And I agree with them. Like if they could do it in a way where individually you don't have to see all of the films. Of course they wouldn't want it like that. That's part of what Marvel did, right? Like, hey, if you missed this part, then you might've missed this Easter egg, or you might've missed this post credit scene that ties into the other movie. But if they can do it in a way where you can see that or you don't have to see that particular movie, in order to enjoy the next one, then I think that would be best. But it's gonna be really interesting to see what they do, because I don't think that they probably wanted to make that much money, but I don't think they anticipated doing 800 and something million or even close to a billion or over a billion, whatever Venom ended up making next time. But on this one, you know, the ceiling is higher. So I think hopefully they approach it better to make a better overall movie. But I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I think it's obvious what they want to do, but I think on the fan side of things, it's not obvious what they want to end up making it. But with what happened with the Netflix shows, how they referenced the MCU, but didn't necessarily end up tying in, and people still enjoyed, you know, them in their earlier forms for the most part. I think if Sony can get away with doing that, everybody comes out a winner.
Still the huge missed opportunity, biggest missed opportunity when it came to Avengers Endgame. Just give us one portal where the Netflix guys like poke their head in.
Right.
Wave. Like, could have been anything.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Hell's Kitchen is not too far away from, you know, the Sanctum. It could have been doable. Emma, I see you added some notes here about DC movie dates.
Everything, this whole thing is just movie dates getting moved all the time. But the latest one from DC was that the Batman has been moved. So that got moved back to October 2021, which I think also ended up pushing back Flash, Shazam 2, and Aquaman 2.
That's the curse of having all these movies that sink in and tie together and need a certain amount of space from each other, is that this one delay is going to end up costing it all. But
yeah. So now the weird part is that we're going to get the Suicide Squad, the Batman, and Black Adam all within like 5 months of each other. Wow. Or 5 months overall. Like, it's, they're all within a couple months of each other. It's weird.
And oh my gosh. So that's it, everybody. 2020 is obviously a sucky
canceled
year. It's canceled, whatever. But 2021 looks like it's about to be lit, because that's around the same time that those Spider-Man movies are coming out.
Yep, because it'll be Morbius in March, Venom 2 in June, Spider-Man 3 in July, Suicide Squad in August, Batman in October, Black Adam in December.
Yes! What the hell?
Good God.
2021.
And then Wonder Woman right now is still set to come out. They pushed it back. It's set to come out August 14th, 2020. We'll see if that gets pushed again, because who knows what August is going to look like.
Okay, here we go. This is the movie that needs to do it. There, Wonder Woman goes straight to digital.
Absolutely not.
Why?
Not do it.
Why are you
saying
that?
They're not going to take that gamble. They are not going to take that
gamble. Okay, hold on. We talked in the pre-show. We said that Black Widow would never do it because it's Disney. But this is DC here. There's a lot less to lose.
Corporation's a corporation. Yeah, they're like, we basically have one property right now that's done really, really well, and it's Wonder Woman. All of our other stuff has been shit. Nobody's liked it. But Wonder Woman is doing good. They cannot risk that one.
This is...
The Suicide Squad, if that was this year, they'd be like, fuck it, put it on demand.
Change isn't easy. And I think Wonder Woman should be, and it deserves to be, the movie that makes a stand and actually succeeds off of it. I don't see... Because I do... It is a risk. And like we were talking about, like, it is a risk for that company. But we're seeing it happen with other ones. They're taking hits. Maybe they're able to adjust for about how much they think they're going to lose. And it's just going to take that one movie. If Trolls did it, Wonder Woman can do it, is all I'm saying. And it'd be perfect. It's the progressive movie that everyone loves. Strong female lead, crushed it in its first outing. It's got probably more steam than any other movie of the year, in, I think, when it comes to comic book movies. So it's the ideal one. I would day one this movie. Like, $20 easy to watch this movie. I'm not going to do it for Trolls or Scooby-Doo.
The hard part is also that when you spend... Say you and Elizabeth go and see this in the movie theater. You would go see this day one because that's what you would do anyway. You each spend, what, $15 to $18 on a ticket? Whereas at home, you're spending $20 for as many people as you want to watch it, as many times as you want over
max
a rental
of 10
period of,
people,
what, 2 days?
As mandated by the government. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, fuck that. As many people as you want.
Yeah.
You can send that link to everybody. You could, and then as soon as you do something like that, as soon as you put your movie on demand, you guarantee that it's pirated day one. Because all you have to do is screen record it.
Yeah, those people.
All you have to do is open up OBS and screen record it.
Pirate's gonna pirate. Like, I don't think that's
right.
Gonna,
but they wouldn't be able to
it.
Pirate if it was in the theater, because they would be recording it with a shitty camcorder.
Oh, challenge me. Me and Curtis, me and my boy Curtis, we'll go straight up in there, and we'll hide the camera and the popcorn, and we'll get you a straight up fresh DVD of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that looks like it was recorded with a camcorder.
Yeah.
And then somebody stands up and stands in front of you, and it's, yeah, no. You're guaranteeing a high-quality pirate the second it comes out.
Hand to God, that's the first time I watched Iron Man, was off of a pirated copy with a guy standing up and walking down the aisle. Is actually,
ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah, you got me. It wasn't mine. It was a friend's, and he never told me.
Okay.
So, like, halfway through.
You're just holding it for somebody. Whatever.
No, you know who it was? I'm going to throw him under the bus right now because it's his birthday. Our social media guy, Ego Brain, Jake. I was at his house in Fresno, and this
guy.
You're an accomplice. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll take it. I'm stealing Gatorades, and this is now my new crime. I was due for one. What else do you think? So, I mean, you guys are wrong. Definitely Wonder Woman should do this. How many times can they delay it, though? Come on. Like, would you... As a fan...
New Mutants would like to answer that question for you.
For real.
All right. I see your point. But come on. Wonder Woman, New Mutants, it's quite different. As a fan, separating yourself...
New Mutants should be the first one to do it. Let's be real. New Mutants should be the first one to put themselves on demand day one.
They really should. Like, that movie has been pushed back more
five
than
times?
Wonder Woman. Yeah, like, at least five times. That movie was shot 4 years ago and was supposed to come out, like, 3 years ago. Not only that, but at least it was shot under the Fox regime, which I'm sure Disney accountants can move the money around and be like, it wasn't really a loss. We didn't really pay for it.
Yeah.
We just acquired it when we bought Fox. So if you want to talk about one that has appeal, is attached to the X-Men, and could probably make it happen and things not fall apart, and you don't have, you know, the chair, the all of the people of the board up your behind about how you lost money on something, it would probably be New Mutants.
They should do it too. I think this is going to be the way of the... I think some things, I don't know what they are yet. I can't identify necessarily, but things are going to change permanently because of, you know, coronavirus. For one thing, I think the order DoorDashes of the world are going to really pick up and thrive from here on out, because I think it's always been, once you do your first DoorDash, it's kind of addicting. Like, a lot of people put it off and then they finally do it and then they're like, oh shit, that was way easier and not creepy or anything. And then you just do it more often. And this virus has made a lot of people do that. So I think that's going to be one industry that definitely takes off. I would love for it, like, not to see the movie industry die, but I think we have enough movie theaters. I think that it's kind of an inefficient way. It's kind of a luxury thing. If you want to go experience in, you know, 4K sound things with rocking chairs and 3D, like, that's cool. But I just want to watch movies at home. I don't really care to go to movie theaters. So I want to see this as a trend. Anything else you guys think from this quarantine age that you think is going to change the game entertainment-wise?
You know, I don't really know how much, because to be honest with you, any of the larger changes that I think were gonna be made kind of already started happening with the streaming wars. You know, like, everybody kind of knew that they needed a streaming platform and, you know, IP in order to push out to those. You know, Disney did what they needed to, acquired Star Wars, acquired Marvel before that. You know, kind of came into creating their platform a little later behind the curve, so to speak. But I mean, they are holding the cards, you know, as far as putting Marvel content as digital first. They already had the plans with the shows like, you know, Captain Falcon and Winter Soldier, essentially would be, you know, like an 8-hour MCU movie was already going to be released on digital first and actually impact the movies like we wanted the Netflix series to impact the movies and to be acknowledged. So they were kind of already on their way, you know, towards that. I think they're looking at it like, we're gonna take the best of both worlds. We'll hit people on, you know, on the stream. So, like, you know, for people like Corey who want it delivered straight to your home, we'll deliver it straight to your home and we'll give you 8 hours worth. And, you know, to still, for the people that want, you know, to get out the house with the family, as Corey, you know, as things change for you in the next few years, you'll be wanting to do, and you'll be going on those family trips where you got to take the kids out the house. Dad wants to stay home, but the kids want to get out, and, you know, and wifey is going to want to get the kids out because they're getting on our nerves. You still have, you know, your Cineplex where you can go out, or even your drive-in. So I think it's going to be a little while before movie theaters completely go out. But I do feel like they are going to be a little bit more of the exception as technology, you know, continues to develop and grow.
Well, that's why theaters aren't just a place where you go to movies anymore. Like, a lot of them are adapting. It's a whole experience now. There's a restaurant, there's a bar, there's reclining seats. It's got seat warmers. It's like, they realize that, like, if you wanted to just sit and watch a movie, you can do that at home. They need to provide more.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that, what's that, Studio Movie Grill up here?
Studio Movie Grill. I hate going there.
You do?
I hate going there to see.
Yeah, why do you?
Because, like, I don't like people walking in front of me the whole movie. I want to go to a place where you can get food, you can bring it in, and they can deliver it, but once the movie starts, you fucked. You sit your ass down, you shut up, and you're done. I don't want people walking in front of me. And then, like, at the climax, because it's always at the end, it's at the climax of the movie, you get the person that has to run across and put all your receipts down or all your, like, checks and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that is, like, a bummer.
This is literally the end of the movie right now. Sit the fuck down. Get away from me.
They could definitely improve parts of that, especially
I'm
with
not
the
about it. Or, like, do some sort of conveyor belt thing, like sushi places.
No, you tell me this wouldn't work. Distracting.
Like, no, but you tell me this wouldn't work, though, because you got, like, the one side that everybody comes from, and then you just put the start of the conveyor belt there, and then you just put in the seat number, and it goes to, like, seat 12. Boom. You get your food.
Yeah.
Genius.
You don't think, then some idiot's going to sneeze on it. Like, there's so much room for failure in that.
I'm just saying, there's an idea. I'm the idea man. I'm not going to make it work. I'm just going to give you the idea.
You just called yourself.
It's your job.
You just called yourself
the
idea.
And I'm going to take the royalties.
You're the idea man. Okay.
Yes.
All right. We'll put that on your business card. The next one officially canceled is San Diego Comic-Con, which is kind of of course it was going to happen. I think we knew.
Yes.
And kind of talking about the changing of the world, I think just in general, I don't know about you, Emma, but if you're watching something that was like previously taped where people shake hands or hug or something, I cringe a little bit. What, do you get that same kind of gut reaction?
Not really, but I also am not out ever. So maybe if I was encountering more people and had more people trying to shake hands, then it would. But so far, not yet.
Yeah, I just see it on TV.
It's just like, oh, honey, they don't know yet. They don't know.
I think going forward, like, I'm not shaking hands no more. I don't care how much I like you or what you've done for me. Like, we got to come up with something new.
Respectful bow.
Yeah, bow. Let's bring back bows. They had it. They knew what was up. But, you know, obviously we know that we're not going to go from 0 to 60. And Comic-Con is usually a July thing. And delaying it just doesn't make sense. It's too big, the scale of it. And then, like, there's no way you could reorganize something like that. People build their years around this. But for the first time in 50 years, the event is officially canceled. They put out a full press release, but basically, extraordinary times require extraordinary measures. And while we're saddened to take this action, we know that it's the right decision. We eagerly look forward to the time when we can all meet again and share the community we love and enjoy. And that's the thing. I don't know when that time is going to be or how many years away that is. When is New York Comic Con usually?
October.
So have they officially thrown in the towel, or do you think they're still holding
up? No, they're still announcing things, and they're basically still acting like it's going to happen, because they're not at a point yet where they're canceling. And as long as they're not canceled, they have to assume it's still going to happen. So you still have to, you know, do your announcements, do your panel submissions, basically act like it's going to happen until it doesn't. So tickets for that haven't even gone on sale yet. So they're not running into that issue yet. But the Javits Center, which is the convention center in New York City where the convention is currently a field hospital.
Yeah.
And it is full of hospital beds and patients. So I am not holding out hope that it's going to be done by October.
That was 100% my thought. Like, in California, I think it's feasible that you could have events, you know, by October, maybe. Not to the scale of a Comic-Con, but New York is a whole different animal. Like,
you
look at the news on the rate at which the thing is blown up and the death toll. And like you had said, they're turning big trucks into refrigerators to hold dead bodies. Like, that place is very much a war zone right now. And that is not just going to turn around by October. And then even if it does, like, I don't know, there's probably a curtain somewhere that has the one final COVID-19 cell that starts it all over again. You know, like, I don't know.
Well, and even when we get to a point where we're not all quarantined, we're not all isolated, we're not completely shut down, businesses start opening again, we are not going to be having any of these events with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people this year. We're just not. So all these conventions that are rescheduling for Labor Day, what? No.
And most of the conventions anyways are built around older stars, you know, like the people that are probably more at risk to pick things up, and they're not going to want to put themselves around anything, let alone for COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-20, like whatever comes next. Like, it just kind of changed the game and it blew up awareness. And I think just going forward, I don't think meet and greets, for example, are going to go back to the way they were maybe ever. You know, they might have to change it where they're behind glass or something, or digital meet and greets.
Oh, they'll just have hand sanitizer everywhere.
That,
like, you know, sanitize before you meet them, the person sanitizes, like, you know.
And no touching policies. Like, you see a lot of people get these photo ops, they're all over these people. And it's, you know, despite safety, now with the health stuff, it's even worse.
Yeah, I think Dragon Con just put out an announcement today that they're like, we're not canceling. We have no plans to cancel right now. We are going ahead. And they went further and they're like, you know, if experts, you know, we're listening to experts and we're watching the news, and if it gets to a point where it looks like, you know, it's not going to happen. But again, that is the first day of September.
Yeah.
What? It's not going to happen. It's, well, just not.
Doesn't Dragon Con take place like in
Atlanta?
Yeah, in Georgia or one of, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of states, you just look at the news, like half, a third of the country thinks, you know, we should be going to work right now still. And so I'm sure some of these organizers kind of are seeing that side or identify with that political belief and maybe are holding out hope that things are much better than they actually are. But I think the reality is, especially in the convention community, it's a very certain crowd, a younger crowd, a more, I don't know, sensitive crowd that's not going to just jump onto your events. And in fact, it's probably going to do your brand more damage the longer you stay in the race.
Well, and LA has already flat out stated no concerts, no sporting events until 2021. I would not be surprised to see the rest of California go the same way. And like, they're just going to be like, none of these gatherings are going to happen until next year. Just none.
Yeah. Well, one event that is definitely happening in the digital space is Travis Scott's Astronomical is coming to Fortnite. Epic Games revealed that the next game Fortnite concert will be headed by rapper, entrepreneur Travis Scott, and it's going to take place over several days of the week. The concert has a name, and it's going to be described as an otherworldly experience inspired by Cactus Jack's creations built from the ground up in Fortnite. And as well as this amazing concert, you're going to be able to get a bunch of cosmetics as part of their Legends series. They're putting a Travis Scott skin in the game, just like they did for Ninja in April. So, again, innovation coming out of these tough times, and leave it to Epic Games to just kind of continue to carry the flag forward. Although I hate Fortnite, and I don't necessarily even like the community, or it's just not my scene. This game just continually, from a marketing, social media, like relevancy standpoint, keeps breaking barriers and just doing crazy things. I all I know about Travis Scott is his shoes, honestly. And wait, is he sicko mode?
Yes.
Okay.
Sicko mode.
I know two things about Travis Scott. He makes dope shoes and sicko mode.
The only thing I know about Travis Scott is the Super Bowl performance with Maroon 5 that made no sense.
See, was he in that?
Yeah, because like they played some songs about Jane stuff and then switched over to Travis Scott. And I was like, this is a weird grouping.
That is strange. That's very odd. Oh, yeah. What's her name, too? Is it Kylie? Kylie Jenner?
What about her? Is she in Fortnite, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's in there. You didn't see?
No.
You'll get a Kylie Jenner cosmetic, and they'll ship you some of her cosmetics. No, that's her and Travis Scott had, I don't know if it's just one child or more than one child together, but yeah. That
oh,
that
he's looped in
too.
With them? Really? I had no idea.
Yeah. That is actually where he got his, you know, most recent boost of popularity was from, you know, being a part of the Jenner Kardashian brand.
This is the kind of shit that I wish more games could pull off. Like, it's kind of a bummer that it's restricted to Fortnite and we don't get to fully enjoy it or understand how it can like morph a game. But I think being a kid right now in the Fortnite age has got to be just one of the most amazing experiences you could have, and is why I feel Fortnite will never die, because in 15, 20 years when these kids grow up, you know, they're going to want to, you know, reminisce about their Fortnite days, similar to how we did with Halo. But can you imagine, like, if in Halo, you know, who was hot back then, Curtis, when Halo was around, the early aughts, who was the biggest act?
Eminem.
Eminem drops a song that no one's ever heard of in Halo lobbies. Like, that shit would have been so amazing. Why didn't we have that? Why was our childhood robbed and these Fortnite brats who don't even deserve it get it?
That's a really good question, Corey. No, it's just a day and age, baby. It's just a day and age that we live in. But would you trade it? Would you trade all of your, you know, you and Emma, would you trade all of your Halo glory earlier on just to be younger and be a part of this Fortnite thing? I don't think you would.
Yeah, good point, Emma.
Halo is so much better than Fortnite.
It is. And
so.
Yeah. Okay. Curtis, good point. Way to keep us grounded. The next thing I want to talk about is all the COVID-19 stuff we have. You know, a lot of industries are failing, but one that is continuing to grow is the gaming industry. As told by their March sales numbers, they crushed it. 2020 was a record-setting month in gaming sales. Consumers in the U.S. spent about $1.59 billion on gaming hardware, new accessories. And that's the most March money the industry has generated since making $1.8 billion in 2008. And obviously...
What game came out then?
Well, that's what I wanted to test your guys' on, because I figured
we'd
make this
a little...
Wow,
you have no idea.
No, I do. I have a separate doc here that has the top 10 best-selling games, and I thought we'd gamify it a little bit, because there's a few surprising ones on there. Because this is, you know, of course, we're in, what's the month? I lose track. April. We're in April.
It's April
2020. The most popular games last year that got purchased.
Wait, shit, what day is it?
I think it's the 420 was 2 days ago.
It's okay. The 22nd.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. My sister's birthday is on the 25th. I got real worried.
No, you're good. You got 3 days.
Okay.
So,
out the gate, I'm going to say NBA 2K because it was the highest selling, I think, sports game ever, and all of the dang microtransactions that are inside of it. So I'm going to say that out the gate.
Now, I'll preface to say this is U.S. only. And yes, you are correct, Curtis. Number 5 on the list, NBA 2K, still holding up its sales despite, you know, people on the inside knowing all of its flaws. But I mean, that's why they can afford to do like the 2K League. Like, this game just makes money. They don't have to make it good. It just got to have up to date players.
Yep. And it's true.
Yeah. So number 5 on the list. Emma, do you have any guesses?
Is this top selling games of last month?
Of last month.
Animal Crossing.
Number one on the list.
Was that? Okay.
Yeah. 100%.
I can't remember if that was April.
Yeah. That's actually the one that I did a lot of the heavy lifting, as told by the report there. Animal Crossing phenomenon. Crazy crossover between different communities, I'm noticing.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing, you know, you guys, friends like Rachel, you know, posting screenshots and all this content all the time. I'm seeing pro Overwatch players. I'm seeing pro Counter-Strike players, Call of Duty players, everybody across all
Hozier
these
just
games.
Tweeted about Animal Crossing today.
No. Oh, you know who else did is Captain Marvel.
She, I think, is paid by them, though. Because she's been tweeting about them a lot, and at least one of them was an ad.
She didn't put hashtag ad in the one I saw, so I am miffed.
I think she probably got paid for at least one post. Because I definitely saw one from her that was an ad. But yeah, she's been talking about it for like months.
Yeah. And just because you get paid doesn't mean you weren't actually a fan. You know,
maybe
she's just a legit fan who happens to get paid for it. So yeah, number 1, Animal Crossing. Number 5, NBA 2K. What else you guys think would be on that list?
Doom Eternal.
Doom, yeah.
Doom Eternal. Where do you think it would be on the list, just out of curiosity?
Number 2.
3.
Number 6 on the list.
Oh, behind really? 2K?
Behind 2K sold more copies.
People need to get better taste.
Here's a little caveat that might change things up, but in this list, digital sales do not count. So maybe Doom shredded it in digital sales, but still 6, even in hard copies.
Oh, that's right, because we're talking U.S. and they don't count digital for ours. Yeah, okay.
That's still really low, I think, for even for hard copy.
Resident Evil 3?
Resident Evil 3, number 4 on the list, right above 2K.
All right.
Finding your groove.
All right.
Fuck it, it's everywhere. GTA 5.
Yes!
Oh, wow. What?
And only.
I fucking knew it.
GTA 5 will be on there until the day we die. I'm sorry. Oh, until
every
GTA
fucking
6,
time.
Until GTA 6 comes out, then that'll be everywhere.
Yeah, basically.
Number 8 on the list, GTA 5.
Not even at the bottom.
No.
Wow.
I think those games will surprise you, too.
I don't even know what
Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy.
I don't know. I think that one might have just
been
came out.
This year.
Yeah,
or not this year.
Not
this
on
month.
The list. So,
oh, this month? Okay.
Yeah, I think
okay.
It's got to be this.
Okay. Last month. Yeah.
You know what's not on there? The Last of Us 2.
No, and nor will it ever, because that game's never coming out. I'm sorry, Emma. Just came out.
Call of Duty, right?
Let's go, Curtis. Number 2 on the list, Call of Duty. I think a lot of that probably has to do with the release of the Warzone game mode, which ridiculously popular. I mean, the game is already popular. It's got that retention where it'll be on a list months and months out, just like 2K. But when they added that Warzone, and then they, of course, did the big marketing stunt where everybody's playing it, there's tournaments, it had a lot of buzz. So Call of Duty Modern Warfare, number 2. Number 3, I just don't think you guys can get. Try and go for it, too, if you got it. I'm going to give... there's not even a hint.
I'm not looking at chat.
I can't even get you guys a hint to get you close. So MLB The Show 20, number 3.
Really?
I guess.
Oh, because
never
would have
occurred to me.
probably everybody getting ready for baseball season.
I guess, but do people even go to baseball games like that?
Not anymore.
Right now.
You want to talk about a dead sport? Like, come on. So you guys nailed it. So number one, Animal Crossing, Call of Duty, MLB, Resident Evil 3, NBA 2K, Doom. We're missing 7. Grand Theft Auto 5, number 8, and then number 9 and 10. So 9 did at least... No, 9 came out last year. I'll give you that. Staple franchise had a long absence in between its most recent entry.
Oh.
Loved.
Is it Borderlands?
Yeah. Got you there. Okay. Number 9 was Borderlands. And then number 7 is another one I just don't see any of us getting. Persona 5.
Did it. Oh, the resurgence. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
And number 10, another staple game, really came to its peak popularity in the N64 age.
Oh, so it's Nintendo.
Smash Bros. Mm-hmm.
So it's either Smash, mm-mm, Luigi's Mansion, mm-mm, or...
Older.
Mario Kart.
There you go. Mario Kart 8.
Is it Mario Kart?
Still holding up as number 10 on the list.
When did that
come out?
It's
so fun.
I think it came out the same year as the Switch, didn't it? Or the year right after?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was one of the games that came out like not with the Switch, but like I think it was just like a month or two later. But yeah.
Incredible.
It's super fun though. I mean, that the replayability on that game is pretty ridiculous.
I think it's just a testament to these numbers really just reflect the what do you call that? The airplane view of the gaming industry. We get lost in the sauce on these big titles that are coming out and those one banger hits like The Witcher or Cyberpunk and all these in these, but really the ones that the people care about are still Mario, NBA, I'm sure Madden. I'm surprised Madden's not on the list, but I'm sure once the next one comes out, it will be Borderlands. Like it's kind of cool to see. So, the more you know. All right, that's our show, everybody. We timed this one pitch perfectly. It's like we've been doing this for a few years. Curtis, where can people see all of your content that expands beyond the VGB MCU? Where can they see all your external projects?
The VGBU is, I think, what we're talking about here. You can catch me on my channel at Skip and Tosh on Twitch. Look me up. I'm on there. Streamed for the first time in a while yesterday.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Felt like I never left, though, because I've been on twitch.tv/thinking_critical_YT reading comics for people and watching X-Men videos because I'm still excited about House of X and Powers of 10 and the Dawn of X. Which, Corey, I've got some things to discuss with you about, but we'll keep that for either the after show or the after show, which no one watches.
Are you reading all these on digital?
Yes, I read all of them on digital. Although, shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee. I was able to donate to their fund. And also, I called them up and I was able to pay for my comics, and my comics are in the mail. So my physicals are on their way, too.
You can also buy Oblivion Comics and Coffee merch at teespring.com/Oblivion Comics. Let me check that real quick.
Everyone knows how to use Google. Oblivion Comics and Coffee. It's actually it's that new design that's really badass. The new California Stay Home.
I like
comics.
It. I like it. I got one.
That's so dope. I want to get the sweatshirt, but I guess I can buy it now and then just wait till it's not hot anymore to wear it. But that sweatshirt is
We won't
dope.
Be allowed outside until it's not hot, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's a very
it
good
will be
point,
fall
Emma.
By the time we're allowed to go outside again.
I'm going to put my order in. It'll be in the mail.
Yeah, I think that's the next thing. We got to do every little thing you can to help support these small businesses and business owners that you create, that you love. And, you know, we depend on them for our entertainment and a cool place to relax, you know, for years now. And now is like they need our help for a few months. So it's the least we can do to, you know, they have a GoFundMe?
Yes.
Yeah, right now where you can kind of help them make up for their employees' wages if you so choose. I've been doing it monthly. I encourage anybody else in the Sacramento area who has been to our trivia nights or heard of us that way. And we can't wait to get those going back again. And it's just a great, great place. You feel good about doing it. Definitely a better use of $5 than giving it to that Twitch streamer we talked about earlier today. Emma Skies, congratulations on your huge stream. I don't know if I was on the episode where you got to talk about all the money you made.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely, you went over 13K, right?
Just over 12.
Just over 12. Jeez, man.
I think final tally came out to 12,165, and then I got a check in the mail from my grandmother because she doesn't know how Twitch works. So 12,265.
Wow. I remember I got to tune in for maybe like an hour, and then at the end I was like, all right, next time you're setting a goal for 10,000, and like 2 hours later, you were at 1,200 or 12,000. So GG. I can't believe it.
I do not know how that happened, but it was very, very exciting. It was a lot. It was a very long day. It was a long, crazy day.
Talk to me about your, because then you got to go on Good Day and talk about your results, basically, right?
Yeah. We just did like a super short thing on Good Day. So the SPCA has like a standing Thursday morning segment that they do on Good Day Sacramento. So they brought me on for that, and we all met over Zoom.
Yeah.
And I remember people watched it and they were like, it makes sense that the streamer is the one with the best AV quality on this Zoom call.
Yep.
I was like, I got a microphone. I got studio lights. Let's go. I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning to put on makeup. Let's go.
Was there education required on your end? Did you have to explain what Twitch was and how it worked? Because I assume that's a much older demographic.
Not really. It was just a super quick. It was myself, the anchor from Good Day, and the CEO of the SSPCA, Marnie, and it was kind of just like a quick, this is what happened. They just kind of called, they were like, you know, local gamer raises money.
Okay.
And they just kind of asked me how much, and it was like a super quick one and done, but it was nice.
Awesome. What else, what's your stream schedule looking like? What do you plan, and when can people tune in?
I've been doing 4 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And tomorrow, it's Bad Kitty, who's been on the show a couple times now, and I are going to play a game called We Were Here. So we will be on together 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Nice.
Which is today, if you're listening to the show.
Yep. And for me, I tuned up the stream, had a little stream last week, had some fun with it, playing Valorant, and I didn't drop very many frames, so it was a fun time. So I think I might do that again. Valorant is been kind of like the main game I've been playing lately. So if you want to catch up, ask questions. I love it when people came through last time and were just asking like random esports questions. And that's kind of stuff I like talking about. I genuinely like geeking out about that. So if you ever want to pop into a stream, it's twitch.tv/whatsuppizzas. And it'll be a good time. Thanks for listening to the show. It's been great. It's been real. Wash your hands. Stay inside. For Emma Skies, Curtis Fisher, my name is Corey saying, you've just been banged.